The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday in Advent, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering them said, go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then as these went their way, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I do not exactly want to preach from the bulletin, as I have been told I shouldn't do that, because when I preach from the bulletin, I talk longer than usual. But there's some things in our bulletin that just simply have to be emphasized, and I bring them to your attention this morning. Again, please read now and know well the Christmas schedule of Masses and what takes place. And also one point that is very important, many people ask this question, If I go to communion at midnight, may I go to communion again later on that day? And the answer to that is no. You may not go to communion again on Christmas Day if you went to communion at midnight. Tomorrow is a feast of St. Nicholas. Let us make of this day a beautiful day, a pretty day, if I may use that word pretty in the good sense and connotation. It should be a day for the children, it should be a day for us, a day of little rejoicing. It isn't Christmas. And I say that with emphasis, it is not Christmas, and it should not be looked upon, nor should the children be taught to look upon it as Christmas. It certainly is not. There are those who preach elsewhere that St. Nicholas is really the celebration. No, it isn't. But tomorrow, enjoy it. Have mothers make a nice little festive dinner for the children and everybody. And St. Nicholas will probably bring the little children a little gift tomorrow. If the little children behave themselves, they might find a little gift someplace around the house for them that St. Nicholas has dropped here, there, or willy-nilly. He's pretty willy-nilly sometimes. So look around the house and see what you can find that St. Nicholas has brought you. Make it a beautiful day. Make it a good day. Make it a Catholic day. Make it a correct day, so that the children will grow up with this little custom and will keep it for the rest of their lives. Tuesday of this week is the vigil of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and is a day of fast and abstinence. We may eat, we may not eat meat at all, and we may have only one full meal on that day. I draw your attention to it now that there will be, we just simply can't do it because of the pressures of the day and the evening, have confessions on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So be mindful of that there will be no confessions on that at that time. The church will be opened at about 11:15, 11:30, that about, and people may come in. And it's for the convenience of those that travel from some distances. This is not in the bulletin, but something that I want to bring to your attention. I know all of you wonder about the care that we take on the inside of the church when our doors look absolutely disreputable. Well, we are doing something about it, and this week we suffered a serious disappointment. We had been hoping to have nice, beautiful new doors up for Christmas for you. And we went to the outside doors. And we went and we ordered them and we gave them specific instructions, etc., 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 and etc. The doors arrived a couple of days ago, and we were all excited the doors are here. And our brother John had to be anchored to an anvil to keep him on the ground. He was so happy about it. So we opened up the doors of the package of the thing, the container, and there we found two doors that were anything at all but what we had ordered or paid for. And we will have to send them back to Idaho, where they were built. So we will not have doors, new doors, for Christmas in our church. But maybe we'll have them up for next Christmas. I don't know. And so please pray that we will get new doors in due time. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, Advent is traveling, and it moves fast, and this morning we lit the second candle, and it'll be no time at all before the fourth candle will be lit, and we move quickly. And as we move, we must not forget the awesome holiness of these days. They are very holy. They are made even more so holy by certain feasts that take place during these days, principal feasts, and incidentally, they are centered around the Blessed Mother. Wednesday of this week is a feast of the Immaculate Conception. Sunday, coming up next Sunday, Rose Sunday, is also the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So our Blessed Mother is well presented to us during these days in Advent. I am the Immaculate Conception. These are some of the stormiest words, some of the most powerful words, some of the most awesome words that have been spoken. Words that have caused untold disturbance in places where she is not wanted. My dear people, every one of us is called upon to be a saint. When our blessed Lord was hanging on the cross, he did not look around and pick and choose who he was dying for. He picked out no one in particular, and it was quite clear that he died for all men, regardless of who they were. If some men prefer not to select him and to take advantage of him, of what he had just been through, that's unfortunate. But my beloved people, let us keep it in mind, it is not for us to make judgment. That belongs, that's the prerogative of God and of God himself alone. But beside all of that, as I said a moment ago, we're all called to be saints. If we have it as our intention to become saints, there's only one way for us to go, and that is by way of Mary. If we want to become saints, it will have to be through her, our mother. I think sometimes we take the terminology of that we use, and when we refer to her as our mother, our lady, are this or are that, we take those terminologies rather for granted. Our Blessed Mother is so unusually different and so unusually wonderful that the connection, the contact, if I may use that that word, the contact between me and her, between you and her, has to be something of extraordinary closeness. It has to be filial. It has to be absolutely filial, as a tiny child running to its mother for safety. You may think that we're overworking the thought of our childhood, of our spiritual childhood. As a matter of fact, my beloved people, we are not working it enough. And to the unfortunate conclusion, or result rather, to the unfortunate result that too many of us find it difficult to comprehend what spiritual childhood means. But unless spiritual childhood becomes part of our makeup, part of our mentality, a major part of our mentality, a major part of our makeup, until spiritual childhood fills our minds, we're in trouble. Our blessed Lord himself said, unless you become like little children, didn't he? What did he mean by that? Why do we present from the pulpit or from our bulletins or wherever the things that pertain to children? The wheat, the Advent wreath, the readings of Advent at the table, Saint Nicholas, Christmas, all the little things of little children, because there is the innocence, there is the love, there is the affection, there is the feeling that we have to produce within ourselves. And when we approach the Blessed Mother, we have to approach her as a little child would approach its mother. Once upon a time, when I was still at my monastery of my birth, I used to be Mr. Decorator. I used to like to decorate for Christmas. I still do, but that has now fallen into others' hands, who do just as well, if not better. But I used to love to decorate for Christmas. And one Christmas, I decorated a perfectly lovely Christmas tree. Went to a whole lot of trouble. It was very nice, if I have to say so myself. The trouble made it so. And I did it for the students. And I put it in the setting of a lovely room, a living room, with a rocking chair and a little table, and all the nice things that you would normally find in a well-regulated home. Well, in addition to being a decorator, I'm also rather curious. So when the students came in, I put myself where I could look out without being seen, because I wanted to see the reaction of the students that came in to the students' dining room on that day, just before Christmas. the last day for them before they went home. And I saw something very interesting. Some students came in and their eyes got as big as saucers. And you could see absolute joy and happiness in those eyes. Some students came in and they gave the tree and the room a very welcome, but a feeling of closeness, indescribable, but a lovely enough and wonderful enough. And other some came in, and not too few, they came and they looked, and they stood there like statues, and their eyes were narrow, and you could see nothing but pure, unadulterated, unmitigated, inexpressible hate. It boiled out of them. I wonder why. And now these were men already past the age of the teenage in most cases. They were already grown men. I wonder why this happened. My beloved people, our responsibility is to our little children. And to teach our little children that which is good and lovely and holy and wholesome, because they will keep this same feeling, this same attitude, this same frame of mind throughout their lives. And we have to be very, very, very careful in the training of our children. We must teach them. We must show them that we ourselves are little children. How wonderful it is to see a father or a grandfather just simply get on the floor and play with the little innocent toys, the choo-choo train, with his little bitty children. How wonderful it is for the same father who will get on the floor and play with the little choo-choo train and when the moment arrives that this father will take that same little child by the hand, gently, and walk it to the place in his house where the baby Jesus is. And the two of them and the rest of them will kneel on the floor and the father will tell the little child about the baby Jesus. This is our life, my beloved people. And our world today, if we're not careful, our world today is taking away this beauty. And some of you parents need to take time out, if you have television sets in your room, in your houses, and look at some of the Gargolian monsters, great jaw-tooth monsters that are now being inserted into the innocent minds, into the innocent fantasies of our little children. Mary is love. Christ is love. And this is why we speak of love so much, because the world is anti-love. Why speak and waste our time, important as it may be? We spend hours upon hours, and we write books, and we write articles, and we do all kinds of things and worry about the Antichrist. If we have love in our hearts, there will be no problem about the Antichrist. But it's because we do not have love in our hearts that if you read what's going on in the world today, that it is unbelievable from every point of view. Never before has there been more argumentation. Never before has there been more printed material. Never before has there been such open debate. More, goodness gracious, the ink factory certainly is making a killing these days in the stuff that is being printed and sent out. Bushels of it, and bushels of it, and bushels of it. What good has it done to anybody, good or bad? They read it, they put it down, and they forget it, good or bad. Debate, argument, proof, whatever you want, has never really converted anybody. Not at all. And you can see how in politics they play with argument and debate and all that foolishness and tomfoolery. There's only one thing that we say, and it's the simplest thing in the world. Put away all this gluk, all of this greed, all of this, whatever you want to call it. And simply, like I told you and have told you, go into the secrecy and the privacy of your room. Kneel with your face to the floor, and in the simplicity of your child's heart, in that simplicity, look up first to Mary and say, "Dearest Mother, I love you." And then look up to God and say, "Oh God, I love you." I said before, and I repeat with emphasis, those three words require more energy, more intenseness, more strength, more commitment than everything else we do in life put together. And unless and until, take this, I'll repeat that, unless and until we are able to say, I love you, with the intenseness, not an insane intensity. There's some people who are insanely intense. That's not what I'm talking about. That's crazy. But unless and until we are able to say, I love you, my beloved mother, nothing else we do will be brought to the attention of her beloved son. Is that clear? If we want God to pay attention to us in all of our many prayers for whatever we want, unless and until we are able to get through Mary, we will not reach him. That's why we talk so much about love. We do not come to this church rather than that church because we prefer this, that, or the other over something else. Preference, of course, can certainly not be totally discounted or disqualified, but preference is not why we're here. Preference is here because we want, it is our desire, our intense desire, to give proper love and worship and adoration to our God. Leave everything else aside. Give God his due. And it can only be given to him by way of Mary. There is no other way. Believe me. And during these days of Advent, let us try to do just that. Let us, if we're distant from the rosary, let us go back to the rosary. Not as a matter of, oh, I've got to say the rosary, I haven't said the blah, 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 blah. I'm forced. There is no force. Where love is concerned. Wednesday is the Feast of the Blessed Mother. I've been talking to the men, now I'll talk to the men and the women and the children. Those of you especially who cannot be here Wednesday, I know that. There's some of you who cannot be here. Spend at least 1 hour Wednesday at home in your little chapels. And during that hour's time, make sure that Almighty God breathes a heart
that loves. A heart that wants to love. Not a heart that is forced into loving. But a heart that is free and desirous to be with its eternal Father, spiritually, completely, and by the grace of God, eternally, my beloved people.